the MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Miss Deborah Carr. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, the Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and also well-known as writer of Broadway musical shows, including the most recent smash hit, Inside USA, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Thank you. The one-hour play that we are about to present to you on the MGM Theater of the Air is entitled Vacation from Marriage. It is one of the many dramatic adaptations from the earlier successes of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer that will be presented on this station each week. Miss Deborah Carr, who played the original role of Cassie in the film, will herself appear in this dramatization of Vacation from Marriage. The curtain will rise in just a moment. Let us take you back to the year 1945, a year marked by a sigh of relief that breathed round the world. The war was over. Our soldiers were returning home. In that year, Alexander Korda produced for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presentation an engaging comedy of matrimonial tribulation. Miss Deborah Carr scored a decided hit in that picture, Vacation from Marriage. Perhaps you will remember Robert Donat and Anne Todd. Perhaps you will remember the early misunderstandings of Cassie and Robert in real life, Miss Carr and Mr. Donat. At any rate, now, on stage, the MGM Theater of the Air presents Deborah Carr in person as the wartime wife in Vacation from Marriage. Our story of Cathy and Robert Wilson started on a grayish morning in London, and yet a spring morning in 1940. A very important morning, to be sure, in the seemingly uneventful lives of Mr. and Mrs. Robert Wilson, who went about the day as they had almost every day in the 6 years of their wedded existence.
Another boarding. Another day. London spring. Grey. Foggy. Rather, well, dripping, from all we can tell, with that wall, that brick wall of the building across the alley, blocking any view we might have. Oh, if only I didn't have this cold. Every winter, every spring, a cold. Is it the same cold, I wonder? Or a different one each year. Now, that's silly. I'm not silly, usually. Maybe it's because Robert is going off to war tonight. Here now, young woman, none of that Robert wouldn't approve. And his egg has boiled its 3 minutes. He'll be out in a minute. Tie proper, jacket proper. Sits at the table properly. Robert, your egg is on, dear.
Coming, Cathy.
I wonder, every morning for 6 years, I wonder what is he thinking this morning, any morning.
Morning, Catherine.
Oh, don't miss me, dear.
No, of course not. You'd think that this morning of all mornings, same cold, same red nose, hair undone, that flannel wrapper, tea, toast, egg. Oh, well, why should it be different today? Only it is different. Or is it? Tonight, perhaps. Not this morning. Tonight, yes.
Your umbrella, dear. His umbrella. Every morning, of course. This is London. Suppose I gave him a raw egg in his hand instead of an umbrella.
Cathy, about tonight.
Yes, dear.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Perhaps I'd better take a taxi home and keep it waiting. If you will...
Have your bag packed? Yes, dear. All packed.
Well, goodbye, Kathy.
Goodbye. No, don't kiss me. You'll catch my cold, dear.
Well, goodbye.
Another morning. Another day. Like clockwork. Even in the middle of a war.
Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Staines?
Mr. Hargrove will see you now.
Thank you, sir. All employees of 5 years or longer volunteering for His Majesty's service will receive from the company the difference between salary and service pay. Now, Robert Wilson, this is what you have to say to him. Mr. Hargrove, I've served the company devotedly for 5 years, all but 8 weeks, Mr. Hargrove. So I trust you'll make an exception in my favor as to making up this salary. After all, 8 weeks out of 5 years can't make that much difference.
And so you see, Wilson, since you are 8 weeks short of 5 years, there's not much we can do about it now, is there?
Mr. Hargrove, I've served the company...
If I were to make an exception in your case, precedent, that is, it would naturally mean... Well, you see what I mean, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir, but...
Good lad. I'm extremely sorry to lose you, Wilson, but with your calm point of view, you're bound to get on even in the army.
Navy, sir.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Well, the job will be here if you come back. When you come back.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Those are his footsteps. I didn't hear any taxi. He's early. He depended so much on the company to take care of me. Perhaps I'd better be at the door. The way he's walking, he didn't get it. Funny, you can tell just from the way he walks. I'll have to do something, a job of some kind. We've got to keep the flat. Couldn't possibly keep it on the Navy allowance. We've saved £97.10. 6 years, £97.10. He's trying to be brave about it. Thinks I don't know. Robert, you're early.
Kathy, I didn't get it. They wouldn't... Mr. Hargrove.
Oh, Robert.
You see, a rule's a rule. He was sorry.
Oh, well, never mind. We don't have much time if you have to be at the station at 9. I put some sandwiches in your case, Robert. Top left-hand corner.
Thank you.
You don't have to change trains, do you?
No, I don't think so. The insurance policy's in the desk. The key's under the clock. I think you'd better wind it every day.
Robert, if the worst comes to the worst, I could always get a job.
No, Kathy. Now, that's the last thing I want you to do. You know how I feel about that. And there's almost £100.
Just as you say,
Robert.
All
right, mate. Find a seat. Find a seat now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Kathy.
Goodbye, Robert. Oh, I hope you didn't catch my cold. I'll be careful, dear.
I will. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Robert. Goodbye.
Carry on and turn in. Choose your cards. Have much time before 5 down.
Good evening.
Good evening, mate.
Is this bed engaged?
No, it's not a bed.
A bunk?
You're in the Navy now.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes, of course. When do we actually get on the ship?
What ship?
Why, His Majesty's ship Benbow, of course.
Well, this is it, old son. You're in His Majesty's ship Benbow right now.
This? The Benbow? But it's just a hut. A Nissen hut.
Well, this is what they call a shore establishment, and all shore establishments are run like ships.
Oh, I see. How do you know so much about it?
There's nothing much they can tell me about the Navy. I used to be a Sea Scout.
Right out, lights! Pipe down! Out, lights! Pipe down!
Robbie.
Oh, dear.
Ah.
Oh.
Seasick, are you? Well, the crow's nest of a destroyer ain't the steadiest place in the world.
What do you want?
Your watch is up, mate. I come to relieve you. Anything to report? See anything out there?
No. Here. Binoculars.
Uh-huh. Well, get along, Robbie. Ah, lovely grub tonight. Pork and beans.
Oh, no.
The beans, Harry, ain't you going to eat your lovely grub, matey?
Oh, leave me alone.
Are you reading that letter again?
You must know that letter by heart, Bob. What do you keep reading it for?
It's Kathy. Oh, she's joined the Wrens.
You got my bunk. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the chief said any bed in the hut.
She said nothing of the kind.
Oh, but I assure you she did.
She didn't say any bed in the hut. She said any bunk in the cabin.
Oh, yes, I mean that. Any bunk in the cabin.
Take that bunk and you better stir your kit.
Can I leave it on the floor?
Deck, girl, deck. Don't forget you're in the Navy now. It's the deck. That's the deckhead. This is the cabin, and the kitchen is the ruddy galley. And if you forget that, you're going to get into trouble. What's your name?
Kathy Wilson. Mrs. Wilson.
And what have you done with him?
Who?
The fortunate Mr. Wilson.
Oh, he's at sea.
That'll teach him. If you've got a cold, go straight to nurse. A senior rating in this cabin, I won't have anyone scattering germs.
Well, I can't help having a cold.
Of course you can. Proper diet, fresh air.
I think you're being extremely impertinent.
Oh, it's horrid being new, isn't it? You'll quite like it in a week or two. We're not so bad.
What's your name?
Clayton. Dizzy Clayton. Here, have a cigarette.
Oh, no, thank you. My husband doesn't like me to. Do you think there's somewhere I could post this letter?
Of course, I'll come with you if you like. We'll just have time before supper.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, you can't go out looking like that. Your hat. No, not down over your ears. Look, like this. See?
Oh, I really don't see.
Now, try some lipstick.
Oh, no, I never use lipstick. My husband doesn't like me to.
Oh, well, then you must never use it. Never.
Hmm? Well, maybe just a touch. I'd better.
Some. Let's go, sailor. Well, we shove off, sister. We're going someplace.
Are we, Dizzy? Is it far to the post box?
A cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces. An airline ticket to romantic places.
Hello, Robert. Still alive up here?
And kicking.
See anything?
Yes.
Oh, what?
A lot of sea. Here, binoculars.
I see the convoy's still out there.
Yes, there's nothing else in sight. We had a bit of trouble with that Greek over there. She seems to want to go off on her own. The captain gave her a devil of a talking to just now. Hey, what's for grub?
An early original dish known as corned beef hash.
Good, I'm hungry as a horse.
Good old corned beef hash.
Well, who's the pin-up girl?
My missus.
Hey, I didn't know you was married.
Hardly knowed it myself, Stripey. At last leave it was. Only had one day for a honeymoon.
Funny things, honeymoons. I've had four. Three regular and one in America. But what I say is, you know, you can't judge a wife by an honeymoon. Now, my first was a bit light-hearted, if you know what I mean. We had grand 5 days, though. Never out of a pub till we was pushed. pushed.
What happened to her?
I just lost touch. How about your honeymoon, Bob?
Well, as a matter of fact, my wife and I went to Facton on the Sea in August on the 10th.
Daisy, Daisy, give me an answer too. I'm just
And furthermore, when we make port next week...
If we make port next week...
And Kathy gets her leave...
If they give her a leave...
We possibly might go to Clacton on the Sea
oh,
again.
Oh, by the sea, by the sea, by the beautiful sea. You and me, you and me.
Come in, miss.
Thank you, sir. An urgent signal for you from Commander Baker, sir. I'm to say that the telephone's broken down and nobody can get through by road.
Thank you. Did you come alone?
Yes, sir. In a motorboat, sir.
Have any trouble?
No, sir. A bit noisy.
Frightened?
Yes, sir.
Don't blame you. So am I. When I was your age, I should have been a darn sight more frightened. You know, you'll have something to tell your children when you marry.
I am married, sir.
Oh? Where's your husband? At sea, I hope.
Yes, sir.
How long is it since you saw him?
It's about 18 months now, sir.
Long time, 18 months.
Yes, sir. It's a long time.
Now, say, Robbie, how do you spell nostalgia?
N-O-S-T-A-L-G-I-A.
Nostalgia? What's that?
Oh, it's what I feel when I'm away from my wife. I've got to say something, ain't I? Not so easy when you ain't seen your wife for 2 years.
Now, my last old woman, after I'd been away for a while, I found myself forgetting what she looked like.
Couldn't even remember her face.
Yeah, that's right. And she was a good wife, too, in many ways. But when we was apart, she sort of faded out, you know, went kind of misty.
Sort of out of focus.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you see your wife, Bob?
Huh? Oh, of course I can.
Good looker?
Well, she's just an ordinary girl. Simple, uncomplicated, quiet, dependable sort of person. Yes, that's the strong point about Catherine. She's thoroughly dependable.
Have you got a picture, Bob?
Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice, quiet little dumper, I should say. You're not the flighty sort. You'll know where you are with her when you get shore leave.
When we get shore leave?
Yeah. They're always best in the long run, them quiet ones, even if they ain't much fun. Now, I always says...
General quarters, all hands, man your battle stations. All hands, battle stations, battle stations.
About Wilson, Doctor, any special instructions?
Wilson, nurse?
He was on that destroyer, sir, torpedoed. Wilson's the case with the hands and the wound on his head.
Oh, the cut on the head is nothing. One can't tell about his hands yet. Just keep him quiet.
Yes, Doctor.
How is he, nurse?
He'll be all right, Scotty.
I hope so. He's earned it. They tell me he rowed a lifeboat for 5 days with his hands half roasted.
Yeah, it's bad enough when your hands haven't been burned. I know it was a wonderful party tonight, but in 5 minutes we'll have to put out the lights. Oh, I can't finish my letter. Well, you're not writing to Robert at this hour. I sort of thought I ought to. Did you have a good time tonight, Kathy? Oh, yes. And it's because I had a good time. It doesn't seem fair to Robert somehow. Why? Is he so mad about dancing? Oh, he hates it. And you see, while I was dancing with your cousin, I suddenly realized how he hates it. See what I mean? I'd rather like to meet your Robert. Oh, I don't think you'd get on. He's never done anything or gone anywhere exciting like your cousin. Why don't you call him Richard? Yes, he asked me to. Well, he's had a wonderful life. Robert's in the city, isn't he? Hmm. Bookkeeper. Richard told me all about the docks at Hong Kong. Why, he practically built them, didn't he? Well, he did repair work on them, I believe. Oh. Kathy, how old is Robert? Oh, about Richard's age. Imagine he's learning to speak Chinese. Who, Robert? Robert, Chinese. Oh, don't be silly. Richard. Kathy, had he charm when you met him? Who, Richard? Robert. Oh. Well, he was always very kind. Oh. Do you know, Dizzy, I've never danced since I married Robert. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful sensation to dance with the right man. With whom? Oh, with the right man.
After a brief intermission, the MGM Theater of the Air will bring you Act Two of Vacation from Marriage, starring Deborah Carr. House lights again dim. The curtain rises once more on Deborah Carr in Vacation from Marriage. Two years. Not so very long in someone's life, but in a war, it can be a lifetime. Two years can see changes. Vast changes. Houses turn to rubble, and people can change their personalities. So it was with Kathy and Robert Wilson. We find Kathy now, unaware of Robert's wounds, trim and fresh, beautiful in her blue Wren's uniform, watching the sea in good company.
Oh, Richard, look. What a wonderful view.
Guarded by ships and all our sea, our own.
Who said that?
A poet, 300 years ago, in another fight for freedom.
Oh, I do envy you, Richard. You've read everything, traveled everywhere. I do read, but I've never traveled.
Why don't you, after the war?
Oh, you don't know my husband.
Don't I?
What are you doing?
Making a sketch of you. No. Don't look till I'm finished. Your husband, I should say, is about 5'8", grumbles a little, doesn't drink, likes bicycling, and kept white mice as a small boy.
Oh, I think you're being perfectly hateful.
Keep still, don't move.
My husband's devoted to me, and I am to him. He can't talk intellectually and spitefully like...
me.
And I'm not saying he's Clark Gable, but he is dependable.
A habit, merely.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
You might have kept still another moment. Well, it's not bad. You can look now, if you like.
It's not me.
Who else?
Oh, well, it's very lovely, but it's not a bit like me.
It's exactly like you.
I didn't know you could draw.
No, nobody ever thinks a naval architect can.
May I have it? I want to send it out to Robert. Oh, but I wanted it for my husband.
You didn't know who it was. Why should he?
Wilson, is there anyone else you want written to?
I won't bother you, nurse. I'll be able to write myself in a day or two.
Oh, rather hard on her, whoever she is, to be kept waiting, even a day.
Well, it's only my wife.
Only your wife?
Well, I mean, whether she gets a letter a day or two, sooner or later, she won't mind.
Is she pretty?
Nice looking, rather than pretty. At least I thought she was when I first met her.
Where was that?
At the Polytechnic. I wanted to be an engineer. You know, bridges, roads, India. One sort of dreams, you know.
Yes. Yes, I know.
I went to the Polytechnic, evening classes. It was there that I met Kathy. She was studying shorthand or something. Well, we fell in love, married, and that was the end of that.
I see.
You know, I seem to be pouring out the entire story of my life.
People always unburden to their nurses when they're getting better. It's what we're here for.
Well, I can't see myself unburdening to matron. No. Now, don't go for a minute. I want to ask you something. I'll be leaving in a few days. Before I go, would you... could we have a sort of evening? A sort of final evening?
Oh, I'd love to.
You would?
Why, of course.
This is rather silly, but what's your name?
Elena. Rhymes with Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
Lena from Vienna.
That's so silly, but I like it.
Good. You know, I've never met anyone like you before.
Well, I could say the same of you.
Oh, but it wouldn't be true. My sort are two a penny.
So are mine.
Now, look, not in my world.
What exactly is your world?
I'll tell you if you like. 87 Lennox Gardens, top flat, from 6:30 p.m. till 8:30 a.m. Hargrove and Company from 9 a.m. till 6. That's my world. Except for a fortnight once a year at Clacton-on-the-Sea.
Poor Clacton-on-the-Sea. What's wrong with it?
Well, there's nothing wrong with the place, just us. When you move a garden roller off a patch of grass, you know how yellow and fat the grass looks. Well, that's just how we look lying on the beach, getting our fortnight sunshine for the year.
We?
Yes, we. Me and all the others. The groove is comfortable, Elena. So is a grave. Oh, I say, do I sound sorry for myself?
Yes, you do. You ought to be proud of yourself and of the millions of others like you. They haven't done so badly, those people who stayed behind in their London offices. Grass under the roller. My husband used to say that grass is the toughest thing in the universe.
I didn't know you were married.
Not very observant, are you, Robert? You didn't notice my wedding ring. My husband used to say that to him, the city of London was the most romantic spot on earth. I expect you've heard of him. Allingham, an explorer.
Oh, yes. Of course I know him. I mean, everyone knows him.
He was once a London office boy.
Where is he now?
He was killed in Burma 6 months ago. He was wonderful. He had a mind like a lamp. Then comes the war. And out. I'm glad we've known each other, Robert.
Elena, please.
No, I don't want to be hurt again. I must go now. Please don't come. Goodbye, Robert.
Elena, I... That is... I...
Shh. Don't say anything. I'd like to kiss you goodbye. Goodbye, Robert.
Funny. Elena rhymes with Vienna. But for me, the Naval Hospital in Tunis will always... Goodbye, Elena.
Richard?
Yes, Kathy?
Wool gathering?
Courage gathering. Courage to tell you the truth.
I wish you wouldn't.
I love you. You've known that for a long time.
No, Richard. You're fond of me, just as I'm fond of you. But you're not in love with me. Anyway, you told me yourself you never meant to fall in love again.
I didn't mean to, but I have.
I suddenly realize that I'm two persons, and I used to be one. I'm two persons, and I don't like either of them. At least, I don't like the one that you like.
Listen, Kathy.
Richard. Robert's home. I've got leave. I'm going up on the night train to London with Dizzy.
You needn't look as though you're going to a funeral, Kathy.
Oh, I'm stiff, Dizzy, with this... Toughy train.
A whole week's leave with your husband after 3 years. Why, you should be jumping with joy. Out with it, Kathy. What's the matter?
3 years.
Now, what do you mean?
I haven't seen Robert for 3 years. It's just what you said. 3 years.
A lifetime, Scotty. 3 years.
I see what you mean.
Mind you, I was fond of Kathy, and she was fond of me, but the one thing we had in common, our home, well, it was pre-war.
And you don't want to go back to it?
I do not. She will. I'm her whole life. Poor little Kathy.
Scotty, there were times when I'd say to myself, if she gets one more cold, only one more, I'll emigrate.
And there were times when I'd think to myself, if I hear the click of his latchkey just one more time, always on time, I'll set fire to the house. Oh, Dizzy, I don't want to have anything I oughtn't, but I just can't go and live in that guinea pig hutch with Robert.
Could you with Richard?
Dick? What's Dick got to do with it?
Well, he's in love with you, isn't he?
Yes, I suppose so.
And you? How do you feel about him?
Well, I feel that whatever I feel, I must go back to Robert.
Because you're married to him?
No, because he can't do without me. Oh, Dizzy, he's such a poor, dear little man. If I weren't there to wind him up and start him off to the office every morning, he'd run down like a clockwork mouse. After that train, Dizzy, walking's a joy. And I've got to have a little more time. Time to figure this out.
Time? What's that in a war?
What? Oh. Well, here's the situation. Robert will never realize what utter strangers we really are unless I tell him. The point is, ought I to?
Well, what I can't understand is why you feel he's a stranger. I haven't seen John since Singapore, but...
John? You aren't married.
Engaged. Oh, he's all right. I heard from somebody who got out.
Well, you might have told me, Dizzy. Make me feel so small.
You talk about 3 years, Ding Ding. Why, Kathy, I can see him as clearly... Oh, what's the good of talking? You'll come back sometime. I can wait.
I do envy you. You've got everything coming to you still. But I've been married for years, and there just isn't anything left to come.
Looks like the missus isn't home yet. Say, Robbie, who's the barnacle on the mantel?
That picture? You've been asked. That's me. Funny how photographs let you down. You know, this was quite a good shot of me at the time.
Who's the lady?
Kathy.
Ah, no colored photographs in those days. Pity. I always say color helps a face.
Those days, this snap was taken the year before the war. If a man can change so much in 4 years, what's the answer?
I wouldn't like to say.
Well, clear out. That's the only thing to do. I mean, it's for Kathy's own good. What's the use? She's a stranger to me. I'm a stranger to her. Scotty, I want to be myself. They've blitzed enough of London. Why couldn't they have blitzed this building, too?
That's tempting Providence, Bob.
Providence? Maybe. I don't know about that. But I do know Kathy's coming here to meet us.
But, Kathy, that poor devil's home on his first leave.
Yes, I know, Dizzy, but I just can't do it. I can't resume married life without any preliminaries.
Don't fuss. I know what you mean.
Yes, but Will Robert, you... Dizzy, we're here. We're...
Well?
I'm not going in.
Oh, don't be a fool.
Oh, my knees are like cotton
wool.
Go
on.
Well, look, will you wait for me at the pub? It's the Coach and Horses just round the corner.
I'll meet you there in about an hour. That do you?
Yes, that's fine. Promise?
Go on, you coward. I'll be at your Coach and Horses.
How many times have I climbed these stairs? Every day. Every single day for 6 years. Home. Home from the butcher. The baker. Not once from the pub. That's it. That's the difference. Robert will expect me the same. But no. No. I won't. I'm not a coward. I'm brave for the first time in my life. I won't. I won't go back to umbrellas and boiled eggs and tea. I won't. I won't. I won't.
Dizzy! Dizzy! Wait. Wait for me. What is it?
I simply couldn't do it.
You are a coward.
Yes. I'm so ashamed.
Well, so you ought to be. The least you can do is to telephone him.
Telephone? Oh, yes. Yes, I can do that. Oh, no, I can't. I haven't got any coppers.
Here are your coppers. Phone at the pub?
Yes, here, in here. Phone? Yes, here.
Hello? Hello? Who? What? What, Kathy?
Robert, I wondered if you could manage to meet me somewhere. Anywhere, the bus stop will do. I've got something private to tell you.
But Kathy...
I just don't want to come back to the flat, Robert.
What are you trying to say, Kathy?
I'm sorry, Robert. I'm most awfully sorry, but I don't want to come back to you at all.
Hello. Hello. She's out of her mind.
What on earth's the matter?
It's Kathy. She's crazy. She wants me to meet her at the bus stop. She says she's not coming back to me.
How? Congratulations, Robbie.
Look, there's a pub around the corner, the Coach and Horses. I'll meet you there when I'm through with her. If you think I'm going to let my own wife walk out on me, you can think again.
We will continue with the story of Kathy and Robert in just a moment. And here is the final act of the MGM Theater of the Air adaptation of Vacation from Marriage, starring Deborah Carr. London in wartime. A London night in wartime. The sprawling city draws its blackout around it and lies there waiting. The people wait. The shadows wait. The lonely young woman at the bus stop is Kathy, miraculously changed. Now a courageous, self-reliant, and lovely Kathy. Her thoughts are only for the young man approaching in the shadows. The young man who calls.
Kathy, is that you?
Yes. Is that you, Robert?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Well, what's all this about?
I thought we'd better have a talk somewhere on neutral ground.
Well, why not come back to the flat? Why not come home?
But that's just it. You see, it isn't a home to me anymore. I'm sorry, Robert. I'm awfully sorry, but I told you. I don't want to come back to you at all.
I see.
I've had time to do a lot of thinking.
What about?
Oh, about you and me and the life we used to lead before the war. And about the life I intend to lead after the war.
Is there someone else?
You needn't worry. I'm still a respectable married woman.
No, I'm absolutely sure about that, Kathy.
Oh, you needn't be so sure as all that. The trouble with me is that I have a conscience, and I know how much you need looking after. I lie awake at night wondering if it's fair to leave you to shift helplessly.
Will you please realize once and for all that I'm perfectly capable of looking after myself?
Oh, Robert, I had to wait on you hand and foot. You used to lean on me for everything.
Lean on you? And when I had the entire responsibility, but the entire responsibility for our two lives and my wretched shoulders, I used to feel like a racehorse dragging a milk cart.
A racehorse? You? A milk cart, am I? Really, it's ridiculous to go on like this. Robert, I want a divorce.
All right. Have one.
You mean you agree?
Agree? As a matter of fact, Kathy, by some remarkable coincidence, is exactly what I wanted, too.
Oh, you did you? Well, I'm very much relieved. Surprised, but relieved.
Well, there's that. What had we better do next?
I suppose one gets a lawyer.
No. I mean right now. There's still a lot to talk over. Would you like a cup of coffee or a lemonade or something?
Yes, I would rather.
Well, you'd better go somewhere. Coach and Horses?
Yes.
Still troubled with your head colds?
Oh, nonsense. I haven't had a cold since I went away.
You were sniffing like mad on the telephone.
I was crying.
Crying?
Well, you don't say goodbye to your husband every day.
You don't say hello every day either. Do you realize I haven't seen you for 3 years? Not that I can see you now. If it weren't for your voice. London in a blackout is darker than Destroyer's deck. Finally fought through the mob at the bar. Here's your drink, Kathy.
Thank you, Robert.
I'm still a little fuddled, Kathy. You. Pink gin.
Why not? Well, now, what were we talking about? Robert, you do look very well. Solid, rather.
Why wouldn't I? Navy builds up a man. You, too.
Thank you. Navy builds up a woman. Now, getting back to the divorce.
Now, don't you worry about anything, Kathy. You sue me. I'll give you cause.
Oh, no, we'll stick to the truth. I've deserted you.
Oh, no, I take a very strong view of that. It's a bit of a slur, you know.
I don't mind. Can't be helped.
A slur on me, I mean. Tell me, Kathy, was I so awful?
Oh, what does it matter now?
Not a bit. Was I? Come on, out with it.
Well, you were a bit of an old maid.
Old maid?
You know, cut and dried. Of course, I don't suppose I was exactly a pin-up girl myself.
No, not exactly.
But, Robert, how could I help it? A woman's place may be the home, but...
Oh, I'm not so sure it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, I don't think it is.
Yes, it is. It always will be. Only not our sort of home. Oh, Robert, I got so bored.
Bored? You too?
Yes. Do you remember that high wall that used to shut out our view? It was so flattening, Robert. Oh, how I used to envy you going down into the city every day.
Envy me?
Yes, there's something so romantic about the city. I mean, it's exciting. It's like the center of a web.
That's it. You get caught in it.
Oh, no, no, no. Quite the opposite. The threads run out to the ends of the earth. I always wanted to travel. Do you know what I did once? I brought home travel folders, Robert, from the Travel Bureau in Victoria Street. Oh, those folders were so wonderful. They were as good as a pink gin.
I never caught you reading one.
Of course not. I hid them in my stocking drawer. I was afraid of being sneered at.
Kathy, I never sneered at you. Never.
Oh, let's have another drink.
Oh, all right. Let's go to the bar.
Everyone's dancing.
Well, just push through. The bar's over. Kathy, want to dance?
Love to, but you don't.
Think so?
Oh. Hey, where did you learn to dance?
Around and about. One picks it up, you know. Ha ha. Where did you learn?
Around and about. One picks it up, you know. Well, blow me down. Kathy.
Somebody you know.
Yes, excuse me a moment.
Go ahead. I'll be around.
Dizzy. Well, quick work. But what have you done with the other one?
What other one?
The nitwit, the old man of the sea, your husband, your Robert.
Quiet. That is Robert.
Oh, don't be funny. That's not the husband you're going to get a divorce from.
That is the husband I'm getting a divorce from.
Well, then all I can say is you must be insane.
I don't know what you mean.
Now, look here. You told me your husband...
I don't want to hear what I told you. Come on, we have a table this way.
Ah, there you are, Robert. Sorry I'm late.
Hello, Scotty. Give me a hand with these drinks.
Aye. Who are they for?
For the girls. That table over there.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. What a couple of smashers. What did you do to get rid of the wife? Beat her to death or something? Ah, I'll take that one on the right.
That one is my wife.
Your wife? Are you kidding?
That's my wife and a friend of hers. Now stop looking like the Cheshire Cat and come along.
You're not Robert's wife, are you?
Why, Scotty, what makes you think I'm not?
After all, look at you.
I'm looking. What's wrong? Did Robert say there was anything wrong with me?
Huh? Oh, no. No. Robert couldn't say enough about you. But somehow or other, I did not get the impression that you were a pin-up girl.
Am I really?
Aye, you're my idea of one.
Husbands just don't think of their wives as pin-up girls.
Oh, no. He always said how dependable you were. And about your being so delicate and always having colds. So you see, well, I was rather scared of meeting you.
Oh, yes, I do see.
I couldn't imagine you being so young.
Oh, couldn't you? Scotty, if you're nothing else, you're honest.
Kathy, dance with me.
No, thanks.
Kathy, what's happened? What's Scotty been saying?
Nothing. He only explained to me just what a dim, dowdy, irritating frump of a woman he was expecting to meet.
A clumsy, muddle-headed fool.
I thought him very clear and very interesting. I do absolutely understand now, Robert, why you were so keen on getting a divorce.
I wanted a divorce. Who asked for a divorce first?
I did, very naturally.
And I agreed, very naturally.
But I am not going to be divorced on the grounds that I'm older than you. Dull, dowdy, sickly.
I never said anything of the sort. I never.
I don't brush my teeth. If you think I'm going to stand for that sort of abuse, you're very much mistaken.
And if you think I'm going to be called an old maid...
So you are, an old maid.
Kathy, if you say that once more, I'll wring your neck.
Wring my neck. What a silly, stupid, hackneyed phrase. My dear Robert, I've run myself for the last 3 years with complete efficiency. I've worked with just as good brains as yours and held my own with them and had nothing but respect and courtesy wherever I went. Let me tell you this. You were a fairly pleasant person once, and I was doubtful if I was doing the right thing by you. Yes, I was actually afraid of hurting your feelings, as if you had any that weren't exclusively concerned with your own swollen, overbearing, impossible ego. Now I'm going. Good night.
All right. Good night.
What's got into you?
As far as I'm concerned, I never saw your friend Scotty's friend before in my life.
His name is Robert Wilson, and you're married to him.
Taxi! Taxi!
Have you far to go, Dizzy?
Streatham. Kathy's staying with me.
Taxi!
We'll never get a taxi to Streatham at this hour.
Dizzy, if we can't get a taxi, we must go to a hotel.
You two girls can go on to the flat.
He says we can go to the flat.
I wouldn't dream of going to the flat.
She wouldn't dream of going to the flat.
Tell her not to be a fool.
He says not to be a fool.
Oh, tell him to mind his own business.
You heard that, I suppose.
Tell her for the time being she is still my business. I will not allow my wife to wander about the streets. I go on to the flat. Here's the key.
I have a key, Dizzy. I intend to wait here until I get a taxi.
She has a key, Robert. She intends to wait here until she gets a taxi.
Oh, all right. Then we'll all wait here until she gets a taxi.
It would be very much better if they both went back to their drinking. We're perfectly capable of looking after ourselves.
I'm going to see you and Dizzy into a taxi cab or into the flat. I don't give a hoot in Hades, which you do, but I'll not leave two girls standing on the pavement. Now, is that understood?
Yes, Robert, and it's very sweet of you.
I don't mind waiting. It's a very pleasant locality.
It was before the Blitz.
What used to be here?
Oh, very nice little shops, Dizzy. Paper shop here, just here, next door to the butcher.
The laundry, Dizzy.
The butcher.
The butcher was opposite, Dizzy.
The butcher was next door, next to the greengrocer.
The butcher and the greengrocer were opposite.
The paper shop, the butcher, the greengrocer were all on the north side of the street.
The laundry was on the north side. The butcher and the greengrocer were opposite.
Where's north, Scotty?
There's north.
I don't care where north is.
If we only had a compass to convince the lady.
Scotty, if all the compasses in the British Navy were to say that the butcher and the greengrocer were on the north side, then all the compasses in the British Navy would be wrong. The butcher and the...
Oh, shut up, Kathy.
Robert, please don't speak to me.
Speak to you? My dear Kathy, I don't want to speak to you. Conceit. That's what's the matter with you. Blind, blithering conceit. You doll yourself up decently for the first time in your life, smother your face in lipstick, you frizz up your hair like a blonde gollywog, and then you expect me to speak to you. I'll never speak to you again as long as I live. Good night and goodbye.
There. You see, Dizzy? You see, Scotty? That's what the war can do to a man. And he used to be the kindest, gentlest, most courteous husband. Quarrel? Why, he never so much as raised his voice.
Nobody knew but me what a darling he was, and I adored him. He was my whole life. Did you hear the things he said to me?
Yes, dear. Now, shall we go to your flat? We're all very tired.
Conceit. It's not fair. And it isn't Frizz.
Of course it isn't, darling. Come on, let's go.
Will I see you safely home?
No, thanks. It's just down the road.
Goodbye, Scotty.
Goodbye, Mrs. Wilson. Thank you for a very interesting and instructive evening. I'm on the brink of matrimony myself.
You know, Kathy, that's your eighth cup of tea.
I can't sleep.
I can, if I'm let.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dizzy. You must be dead with sleep. Go on now, in there.
Oh, with the cups and plates.
I'm just not sleepy. I'll do them.
I hoped you'd say that.
Good night, darling.
Oh, think of it. A real bed to hit the sack in. Don't wake up for him. Too long, that is.
Dizzy, go to bed. Cups and plates, like it used to be. Same sink, same stove, same flat. Only different. I'm different. He's different, too. Outside, anyway. I wonder, could the old outside have been, well, wrong? And the new outside, the real inside? Or was the old outside really inside? Oh, who knows? Oh, what's the matter with me? I must be tired. I'll leave these things for the morning. Don't need the light to think by. I can draw the curtains back now. Well, what? The old wall. It's down. The moon can come in here now. And the sun, too. Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you.
I wasn't asleep.
I just came for my things.
Do you remember those high walls that used to make the room so dark?
Yes.
They've gone. Look, the window.
Well, you've certainly got the view you always wanted.
Miles and miles of it. But, oh, Robert, the desolation.
Poor old London. Well, we've just got to build it up again, that's all.
It'll take years and years.
Well, what does it matter? We're young.
We're young. We've a lifetime ahead of us, haven't we, Sailor?
Kathy.
Oh, Robert.
Deborah Carr will be back in just a moment.
Now, here again is our host, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Deborah, it was a nostalgic thrill hearing you play Kathy again.
Thank you, Howard. I must confess I enjoyed it myself. It brought back old times.
You like the old times better than the new ones?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. The recent years have been great fun working in the Hollywood sunshine, working in America.
Working for MGM?
Well, yes. They've kept me pretty busy since I got here, playing If Winter Comes with Walter Pigeon, The Hucksters with Clark Gable, and Edward, My Son, with Spencer Tracy.
Well, I saw it, and I recommend it.
Well, I don't hesitate to recommend it. That is, because of the performance given by Spencer Tracy.
Also because of your performance. Thank you, Miss Carr, for decorating our studio tonight.
And may I also thank you for allowing me to be here, Howard.
Deborah Carr appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Red Danube, starring Walter Pigeon, Ethel Barrymore, Peter Lawford, Angela Lansbury, and Janet Leigh. Ivor Francis was heard as Robert. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Mark B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz.